Good morning,
and welcome to you and the radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you will listen for the duration of the program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on the program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given to you by our announcer. We're studying from the 24th chapter of the book of Acts and our continued study of that book. We hope that you'll have your Bible and have the opportunity to open it and read and study with us the things that we are finding in these pages of God's Word. We see that Paul has been brought before Felix, the governor. He has given a defense and has answered every charge that has been made against him by the Jews. We see as a result of Paul's given answer that Felix is delaying the decision about Paul because he certainly had a better understanding of Christianity than most, but Felix certainly was not deceived by all of the oratory statements that Tertullus had made, who spoke in behalf of the Jews. So now we find that Paul is to be held, still as a prisoner, but is been given liberty. While he waits, he is to keep Paul in prison, but he gives him liberty to allow his friends to visit him and to provide for him. And certainly such treatment was not unusual, but it must suggest to us that he thought that Paul could have been innocent. And you know, Felix is not unlike a lot of people today. He knows enough to make him miserable. He knows what's right, but he lacks the courage to do it. So now let's begin here in chapter 24 and begin our reading at verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for you." So after some time had passed, Felix, along with his wife Drusilla, in fact, Drusilla was the daughter of Herod Agrippa that we read about in Acts 12, who beheaded James. She was married to a king of an insignificant country. She had left him, she had married Felix. So we see that their marriage was an adulterous marriage. They needed the sermon that they are about to hear. So we see then that Felix, along with his wife, called for Paul to come and to speak to him. They wanted to know more about the faith. Was it genuine interest? Was he thinking of obeying? Or was it mere curiosity? Well, we can't be sure, but it seems from his talking with Paul time and again, as verse 26 will point out, that there was at least some interest. So the sermon that they were about to hear was about the gospel, about the faith. It was about what it means to believe in Christ. And so we see then that the content of that sermon, that there were three points that Paul made in this message. One was the point about righteousness. God's plan is for us to be righteous. This plan is revealed in the gospel. Romans 1, verses 16 and 17, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith unto faith. For it is written, the just shall live by faith." So the plan, this plan of righteousness, is revealed in the gospel. And it is by faith in Christ Jesus, as we read in Romans chapter 3, beginning with verse 20, where it says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, Thou shalt no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. And it requires submitting to that law, as we read in Romans chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So we see then that the point, the beginning point in Paul's sermon was righteousness. The second point was self-control, temperance, submission to God's will. Self-control involves a suppression of one's own will and a yielding to God's will. It involves abstaining from and ceasing sin. That would include the adultery that Felix and Drusilla are in. So faith in Christ involves a dramatic change. And then the third point of Paul's lesson, was judgment to come. The reason that we need to be right. Sinners must repent in view of the judgment day coming. We know from that statement that Paul made in the sermon on Mars Hill back in Acts 17, he said in verse 30, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And we know from 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So think about the boldness of Paul as he presents the gospel before this couple. He's addressing two people who are living in adultery. He's addressing one person who has the power to either release him or to execute him. But none of that matters to Paul. He preaches the truth. Now let's look at, again, verse 25 and read through the end of chapter 24. As he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcus Festus came unto Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. So we find that upon hearing the message, Felix was afraid. The Bible says, the King James says, that he trembled. The American Standard Version says he was terrified. He saw the truth, and when he saw the truth, it scared him. Though he was bothered by the message, he postponed his response until a convenient time. When the time was right, he would call for Paul. But you know, there is no evidence at all from the Scriptures that he ever found that convenient time. And while he was waiting for the convenient time, he kept hoping for bribes from Paul. He talked often with Paul, but he left Paul bound for 2 whole years. So then, as we end chapter 24, we now turn to chapter 25. We see that Paul is left in prison in Caesarea for 2 years. Felix the governor was removed by Rome, and Festus takes his place. Festus now has to make a decision of what to do with Paul. Because Paul appealed to Caesar, Festus merely becomes a transition point to Paul, going before Agrippa. And so for that reason, we'll quickly move through chapter 25. In Chapter 26, we see Paul giving his defense before King Agrippa. And here, as with the case with Felix, we have another notable case of non-conversion. In chapter 25, beginning with verse 1, "And when Festus came into the province, after 3 days he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him, and desired favor against him, that he would send for him to Jerusalem, lay in wait in the way to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, and that he himself would depart shortly thither. Let them therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him. And when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down unto Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about, and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, neither against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, Wilt thou go up to Jerusalem, and there be judged of all these things before you? Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender, or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things thereof, they accuse me, no man can deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, Thou hast appealed unto Caesar, unto Caesar thou shalt go. So we see then that when Festus visits Jerusalem, the leaders among the Jews told him about Paul, and they asked that he be brought to Jerusalem so they could kill him along the way. Festus said he would go to Caesarea and ask the accusers to go with him and lay the charges out before him. So after several days, Festus goes to Caesarea. He has Paul brought before him as he sits on the judgment seat, and the Jews brought many charges against Paul, but they gave no proof. Paul responded, saying he'd done no wrong against the Jewish law or against Caesar, and Festus asked if Paul wants to go to Jerusalem to be judged before him. So we see that he tells Festus that he well knew that he had done no wrong. However, if he had committed some crime worthy of death, he would not fight the death penalty. On the other hand, if he was innocent, neither you nor anyone else has a right to turn me over to these men to kill me. So he appealed to Caesar, and Festus said that Paul would go to Caesar. We know that it was within Paul's legal right as a Roman citizen to appeal to Caesar. And we see here in these verses, too, that capital punishment is obviously something that is approved of by God. So it is, then, that we see Paul informing that he wants to go to Rome, and to Rome he will go. We appreciate your listening. We see that our time is gone. We hope that you'll tune in again tomorrow, and it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we turn you to our announcer.